One, two, three.
Hit 'em low, hit 'em high.
It's my favorite song.
Our Eagles fly.
They're playing the hits this morning on WEEU. All right, it's that time. Hold on, please.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Got to let the Eagles fight song end with the big Eagles chant. Eagles, 49ers, NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Field this Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the man that's going to be bringing you all the action alongside Mike Quick is joining us right now. The great Merrill Reese is on the line. Good morning, Merrill. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I am just fine.
I'm doing fine. I just heard my favorite song, Merrill. How can I be doing bad?
Absolutely. Certainly in the top five.
Absolutely, as you said. Hey, as fans, I don't think we were sure which Eagles team we were going to see on Saturday night at Lincoln Financial Field, but I think it was pretty apparent from early on that this team found its mojo again with a healthy Jalen Hurts behind center, or a healthier Jalen Hurts behind center. How impressed were you with the overall team performance on Saturday against the Giants?
I think they were near perfect. I really do. That's as well as I can see them play. But I will also add that the defense had something to do with it. I mean, the fact that the Giants were not very good that night, the defense was all over Daniel Jones.
Absolutely. I think Daniel Jones is still having nightmares about Hassan Reddick living in his backfield, but you also had guys like Fletcher Cox come up big. Brandon Graham came up big. Talk about some of those veterans, guys who were drafted by Andy Reid over a decade ago, and they're still here, not just playing and not just figures on the team, but they're making impacts on the field in huge games.
Well, I agree. I mean, you realize Brandon Graham is the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia, not just with the Eagles. And he was at the top of this game, just absolutely terrific. And Fletcher Cox has been a little bit off the last couple of years, has gotten a lot of criticism on the talk shows. But Fletcher Cox has put together a very, very solid season. And solid for him is great for somebody else.
That's a great point. And not just those guys, but a young guy who was injured, and I think we were all happy to see back in the lineup, weren't sure what we were going to get for him, in Josh Sweat. And he just comes out after some time off and gets a sack and a half like it's no big deal.
Yeah, he's tough. The interesting thing is that was a scary neck injury that he suffered. I think it was probably, they never get too specific, but I think it was what they call a stinger. And he came back a few days after that, and said, he's fine, let's go. But Nick was very careful with him, and that was his first action.
Yeah, and he looked like he hasn't missed a beat since that injury. He played just absolutely amazing. Not just the defensive line played great, but the offensive line was just dominating. You had a guy over on the Giants team by the name of Dexter Lawrence, who the week before caused all kinds of problems for the Minnesota Vikings. He was lined up for the most part against Jason Kelce, and Kelce just dominated him to the fact where you never heard his name called, or barely heard his name called on Saturday.
Barely. And the other one who you hear a lot about, number one draft pick, Thibodeau. Thibodeau mm-hmm. did nothing.
Yep. That was, and I believe he was up against Lane Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, for a good portion of
that
game.
That was his misfortune.
And Lane, obviously coming off that abdominal injury and not 100%, but you talk about tough guys. He might be one of the toughest we've ever seen wear a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. What's it like, just from what you've heard, playing with an injury, a sports hernia like Lane Johnson is suffering from?
Oh, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. But, you know, I was on the field before the game to do a television hit about an hour before, and I was speaking with Jeff Stoutland, who's the offensive line coach, one of the great ones in the game. And I said, are you worried about not Lane starting and playing well, but are you worried about him being able to play throughout the game, to stay in there with that torn abdominal? And Stout said to me, no. He said, I am not one bit worried about Lane Johnson. He said, he'll be fine. And he was better than fine.
He was outstanding. I think we were all, you know, focusing on the quarterback. That's just the way the things go in the NFL. But him being back in there, especially when you look at the record with Lane Johnson and the record without Lane Johnson, the impact he makes on this team is remarkable.
Need him for two more games. Then he can do what he has to do.
Then he can get all healed up. Let's go to that quarterback coming off that shoulder injury. Obviously, much better than he was at the end of the regular season, but still not completely healthy. They didn't need him to throw a lot. They didn't need him to run a lot. But, man, he had complete command of that offense on Saturday night.
You know, honestly, I do think he is completely healthy.
Okay.
And I think looking back, he could have probably played. This is just my assessment. He's tough. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes is going to play this week with a high ankle sprain, which means torn ligaments and whatever. Jalen Hurts, probably. He wanted to play the week after the Bears game. He wanted to play in Dallas, and Nick said no. And they know he wanted to play. He lobbied to play in the Saints game, and Nick said no. And I think Nick realized the importance of what was coming up, and he just wanted to give him plenty of time to heal. And then they sent him out there for the clinching game against the Giants and said, don't run. And if you're going to run, be smart, slide down after 3 yards, and no quarterback draws or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then this week they took the wraps off and said, go play your game. But I think Nick Sirianni and the medical staff and the trainers were very, very smart. They had a big lead, and they were not going to further exacerbate the injury of their great quarterback.
Yeah, we were all very happy to see Gardner Minshew come in that game for a quick series on Saturday. You mentioned head coach Nick Sirianni. He's just been perfect this year for the most part. Everything that he has done, every button that he has pushed has worked out, going all the way back to training camp where they had light practices, all the way through the season, not doing a lot of hitting at the NovaCare complex. How much has he improved from year one as an NFL head coach?
Well, I think he came in pretty knowledgeable. I think the biggest improvement has been his public speaking. I mean, the truth of the matter is his press conference was awkward when they announced him. He had no experience in that area. But now he's a lot more comfortable with the media. And, you know, last year they almost laughed him out of town when he came up with an analogy about the plant. You'll remember that.
I do.
We're going to grow leaves and roots and all that. But this year he can say those things and laugh at himself. But he's very, very comfortable with the media, and I think he's always been a good coach. But like everybody in any job, he learns as he goes along and gets better and better, and he has accepted criticism, and he has made changes here and there, but he's an outstanding young coach.
38-7, the final score on Saturday night, advances the Birds to the NFC Championship, which they host on Sunday at 3. Merrill Reese is with us right now on News Talk 830 WEEU. He'll be on the call. We'll have it for you here on 830 AM WEEU against those San Francisco 49ers. And the Eagles and the 49ers, back and forth, you can make the argument all year long as to who is the best team in the NFC. I think this is the matchup we all wanted to see when the playoffs started.
It is. It is, and I don't know which way it's going to come out. I think the biggest difference is the quarterback position, where you have an elite quarterback, and I do mean elite. Last year, people were wondering, is he, not me, by the way, but there were some people who were wondering, is he the quarterback of the future, or do the Eagles have to do something to get Deshaun Watson or make a trade for Russell Wilson and all of that gobbledygook? But they've got the great young quarterback, and in this 1 year, he went from a promising quarterback to a finished product who was and he's still getting better, and he's amazing. So that's the biggest difference, because they have Brock Purdy, and I can only say good things about Brock Purdy. Here's a kid who they call Mr. Irrelevant, the last player picked in the entire draft, and he comes in as the third quarterback for San Francisco and gets the job done. But the big difference is in their use. Jalen can do anything, and I think Kyle Shanahan keeps him as error-free as he possibly can. He puts him in kind of a low-risk position. But he's done the job, and the biggest thing he has is poise. He doesn't seem to get rattled. And when you talk about matchups, let's face it, Jalen Hurts is not matched up against Brock Purdy. He's matched up against the San Francisco defense and vice versa. So that's where the game will be settled, in the matchups and who makes the big play and who gets the big thing, turnovers. Turnovers will be a big part of this game.
They always
are. And the Eagles have to avoid the turnovers. And another thing to keep in mind, the San Francisco 49ers have, throughout the season, their offense has come on the field with the best field position in the league. So when you talk about a young quarterback, rarely has a whole lot more than a half a field to go where they get the ball. They generally get it outside the 35. So that is a very, very big factor in their favor. But other than that, I do think it's very even, and I think it's going to be, you know, two of the two best teams in the NFC going at it.
Yeah, an outstanding matchup. I can't wait for Sunday at 3 o'clock. You mentioned about the matchup with the quarterback against the defense. I don't know if Brock Purdy, in his 7 or 8 games started, has seen a defensive line or a pass rush that's clicking on all cylinders like the Eagles' pass rush has been here over this entire season, really.
No, I don't think they have, and I don't think the Eagles have seen a defense like the San Francisco 49ers, the likes of Fred Warner, who's terrific. Nick Bosa, I mean, they're really good.
Yep, it's going to be fantastic.
Bosa, and we look at Hassan Reddick, who had 16 sacks during the season. Bosa had 18 and a half. I mean, you're talking about just scary people on both sides.
Yep, two great defenses, two great offenses. It should be a lot of fun to watch. I really can't wait. When you think about their offense, and obviously Brock Purdy's the guy everybody's talking about because he is Mr. Irrelevant. He is that third-string quarterback, and that's such a remarkable thing to go through three quarterbacks and still make it to the NFC Championship game. But
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
He's pretty relevant
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's true. He's on that island of relevancy, to quote WWE yep. and Roman Reigns right now. But ever since the McCaffrey trade, they've just been a different team.
Sure, sure. And he's a great running back. But he's also a great receiver, and he's a great blocker. He's just a terrific football player. But you know who scares me the most? I'm going to be honest with you.
Kittle?
George Kittle.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There's a guy who caught one off his head the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just scary.
Is this the best or one of the best tight end matchups you've ever seen when you have George Kittle, who, like you said, catching balls off his helmet on Sunday, and now on our side of the ball, Dallas Goedert, a guy who made that one-handed snag against the Giants for the first touchdown? Is this just like is this the marquee tight end matchup outside of Travis Kelce in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm glad you threw in that qualifier.
I got you.
Otherwise, because I think those are the two you'd have to say at this point are the number one and the number two, or the, you know, whichever one you want to pick as number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Travis Kelce makes a ton of catches and gets open, but George Kittle does some things I've never seen done before by a tight end. He's amazing. So, but other than those two, I think Dallas Goedert, if they're one and one A, then maybe he's one B. But he's right on their tail. I mean, he's really good.
And not only is he great out there as a receiver, but man, has he come a long way as a blocker.
Yeah, when he was drafted, they said the one thing that he had to improve upon is blocking. Well, he's a great blocker now. He can do anything he has to do.
Saturday night was wild from a fan standpoint. The crowd was amped up. What are you expecting on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, when they tee that ball up at the link?
Boy, it should be crazy. It really should be unbelievable. Like you said, it was amped up on Saturday night. It will be at least, I don't know if you can amp it up anymore, unless maybe some of the cheers will come over from the Wachovia Center, where Villanova is playing across the street. But it's going to be an amazing late afternoon.
We're all pumped up for it. We can't wait to hear you and Mike, and your calls are just out of this world. We love playing them the next day here on 8:30 a.m. WEEU, and we appreciate your time, Maron. We hope we get you for one more game after this one, after, of course, a nice little week off to rest and get ready for Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. You know, I find my mind wandering a little bit and saying, well, when I'm in Phoenix, I'm going to, or, you know, maybe the third day I can get away for a quick 18. But then reality sets in and I say, wait a minute, they're not there yet.
Mm.
You know, I may be playing in the snow here in 2 weeks. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is they have to get there first, but you still make plans. I mean, my wife had to go get her airline ticket because it goes up by $1 zillion every day. You get closer to the game. And you have to plan about what you're going to do with tickets and this and that. But the fact of the matter is, this has yet to be decided.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can daydream all we want, and I have a good feeling about it. I'm positive, but I also know the reality of the fact that they're a very, very good opponent. And this is a game that could go down to the final seconds or even to overtime for who knows. But they're what you have are the two best teams in the NFC, and if you said to me in August, how would you feel? Would you be satisfied if the Eagles got to the NFC Championship game? And I would say, absolutely. I thought they were a playoff team once again, but this is the big step to get to the NFC Championship game, And now to make this season entirely euphoric, they need that one more spell. No, they need that. They need two more spells.
Two more.
They need to get to the Super Bowl. You know, I have to tell you something, Mike. The worst feeling you could ever have as a fan or a broadcaster, worse than anything, is waking up the morning after your team lost the Super Bowl. When you took that entire trip and then they just didn't do it. And I felt that years ago against the Raiders, and I felt that against the Patriots. And I know the difference from waking up. I didn't have to wake up in Minneapolis because I never went to sleep.
And think how much better it'll be waking up in Phoenix after not going to sleep than it was in Minneapolis.
The greatest feeling is waking up in Minneapolis and you go to the airport, you get on the plane, and every seat on the plane had our names on it. And under our names, I mean, it said Merrill Reese, Super Bowl champion. The same way it said Nick Foles, Super Bowl champion. You know, all of us, we get on the plane, and then it really sinks in. Wait a minute. This won the Super Bowl. And I can remember getting on the planes to come home after those other games. And trust me, it was a dreary feeling, except I can remember one thing. Back in 1981 when they lost to the Raiders under Dick Vermeil, the guys were getting on the plane and saying, you know what? You just have to be to one of, get to one of these things to know what it's like, and we'll come back and we'll get there again and we'll win it. And next year came 20, how many years later, from 81 to 2004. So you never know. You have an opportunity. They've got to get it done. So it's not one step, it's two steps, but you can only take one at a time. And let's hope this one turns out well.
But the great part about being a big fan and even a broadcaster, we can dream. We'll let the players and the coaches stay focused. We'll dream about Phoenix.
And hopefully that dream becomes a reality.
That'd be great. Merrill, we appreciate your time. You're the best, buddy. Thank you so much. Have a great game on Sunday. Enjoy it. And hopefully we're talking about a Super Bowl in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much, and the best to you and to all of your great listeners.
Thank you, Merrill. The great Merrill Reese, everybody. All right. You'll hear him Sunday, 3 p.m., right here on News Talk 830 WEEU, along with Mike Quick.